that we're advancing, that the Lord is advancing us to somewhere. And for us Christians, it is the kingdom of God, right? It is He's going to advance us to His kingdom, right, to be with Him. And so as long as we are looking at His Word and holding up His Word to our lifestyle and checking ourselves, then He will continue to lead us and advance us, and we will be blessed. We are blessed now, and we will be blessed even more so when we are able to see. Right now we don't see, but we trust and we believe, right? And we have a faith, and Pastor Marco talked about faith, and he expressed what it meant, right? And it wasn't just, I believe in Jesus, and that was it. You know, it was more of a, I believe, and therefore I'm going to persist in what His Word says, being faithful to the Word of God, right? And with that being said, I want to start with prayer. And again, I am so thankful for your guys' prayer for my family, for my grandchild, Nehemiah. I'm thankful, very thankful for your prayers, for your gifts. Just everything that you guys done has shown me that you guys have shown just the love of the brethren, you know, and that is what God looks at. You know, He sees to see if we care and we love each other, you know. And so let us never forget that that's what true love is loving God, putting God first. But not only that, it's having that righteousness with God, being right with God, and then it's going to reflect to our brothers and sisters, you know. And that's what the world sees. If they could see that, then they're going to desire, it's probably going to, it should provoke them to jealousy and to want to have that, right? You know, so I am lost for words in what to say in regards to how you guys shown your love, but I could only thank God for that. You know what I mean? I could thank my Lord and Savior for my the church that is here, you know, the body of believers that have been in prayer, lifting up my grandson in prayer. So I am thankful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We know that everything is in your hands, and we could trust that, Lord. A lot of encouragement from my brothers and sisters with praying unto you and asking you, Lord, for you to just help in the situation of my grandson, and that is a blessing, Father, and I thank you for that. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that your word today would just penetrate, first of all, my heart, Lord, my mind, my soul, Lord, and my brothers and sisters, Lord, and that your word, Lord, would be held to the standard of our living and not our own emotions or feelings, Lord. Thank you for who you are, and you are a good God, and we're going to look at that. We're going to see, Lord, Father, your supremacy. We're going to look at, Lord, Father, your Son, and how He is the founder of our salvation, and how you had promised that, Lord, in the Old Testament through prophets, Lord. And so, Lord, let us take heed, Lord, to your word, Lord. Let us receive your exhortation of this author that wrote the book of Hebrews, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, for your guidance, Lord. And, Lord, also, Lord, the brothers and sisters in Canada, I lift them up to you, Lord. Lord, just work in their hearts, Lord, so that they would not neglect fellowship, Lord. I know they may not find churches over there. I don't know how serious the situation is over there. Only you do, Lord. But if there isn't any, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged to meet up in homes, Lord, and continue that fellowship that you are well pleased with. You love the fellowship of the brethren. That's what you want to see, Lord. And so we lift them up to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 So this morning, the Lord put in my mind Psalms 138, verse 2. So I just wanted to touch on that really fast, and then we'll go from there. I am going to be on the book of Hebrews, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Chapters 1, 2, I'm going to kind of give down a pretty fast breakdown. You know, if we really look at the book of Hebrews, there is so much typology there that we could stay there a lifetime studying the book of Hebrews, the epistle of Hebrews, right? Because it is a letter written to Jewish Christians. And we're going to see how that basically, what is our application to that, right? They're Jewish Christians, and I believe there was a mixture there of Gentile as well, but it is called, you know, the Hebrews. So we know that it was written to them, but it's also for us, and we'll look at why, how is it written to us. You know, the Bible does tell us that we are grafted in, right? Amen. You know, so we'll look at that as well. But Psalms 138, verse 2. So a lot of times, a lot of churches that I know that I've been to, you know, they seem to praise the Lord and exalt His name. You know, they seem to you know, even cry and praise God, right? And, you know, that is definitely for sure, but do we know if God is really receiving that praise and worship? Because we have to remember that also the Israelites did that, but the Lord came down on them saying, look, I don't want your Sabbath. I don't want, you're trampling on my courts, right? You know, and so God, you know, he's not concerned about what comes out of your mouth to Him, but more of your actions in according to what He has said, His word, right? And so Psalms here, 138:2, it says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness. And it says, and your truth, for you have magnified your word according to all your name. See, so we have here that His word, if we're not applying His word to our lives, then our praises and worship to Him are falling on deaf ear. You know what I mean? And so that's why He's saying He's magnifying His word, right? So His word is, you know, His authority, His name. His name is authority as well. And who He is, He shows us who He is through the scriptures. And so if we read His word in scriptures and we're applying it to Him, and we exalt His name, He is listening to that. He does receive those praises, you know. But if we're not applying the scriptures in our life and we're, you know, praising Him, then we have to consider if it's really, really worship and praise to Him. I've been in situations with brothers, and they're praising the Lord, and they're crying, and they're, you know, they have this emotional feeling that is upon them. But when I get to know them and I get to talk to them, the verbiage that comes out of, remember that whatever's in the depths of the heart, the mouth is going to bring it out, right? And so come to find out that they are living in sin and yet have not repented of sin. You know, so how is God receiving that worship? To Him, it's disgusting. It's dirty. And so that's just something that I wanted to bring up for now. And then I wanted to go ahead and jump on Hebrews, because it's important for us to take heed to His word. And, you know, it's important for me to be truthful to myself and my life, right? And to have a clear conscience on to the Lord, you know. And so that is our responsibility, you know, as Christians, you know, as looking at who Christ is, right? He is exalted, right? Is He not the Creator? Is He not the one that saved you? Is He not the one that opened your eyes to see? Have you not tasted the goodness of the Lord, right? No, and so if we have, then we have to be in awe. We have to honor. We have to respect. We have to have a reverence, you know, unto the Lord and unto what His word says. And if that's not there, then we need to be very frightened of where, what are we doing in our lives, you know. So let's talk about Hebrews. let's talk a little bit about what was going on. The church was under persecution with Nero. Nero was a really evil, wicked man. He even killed his own mother. And he basically, in 64 AD, he set a fire, right, which is called the Great Fire, and he blamed it on Christians. And when he blamed it on your brothers and your sisters, and I say that so I could bring this home to us, because those were our brothers and sisters that suffered through the persecution of Nero. You know, so when we think about that, let us always remember those that are in prison. Let us always remember those that have died for the sake of Christ. Let us always keep them in prayer, you know what I mean, and lift them up in prayer, because sooner or later, the persecution is going to come here in America, you know, and I want people praying for me. So I'm going to remember those that have been in prison, those that are in prison, those that are suffering for not denying Jesus Christ, you know. And so keep that in mind. Here we have Nero persecuting the brothers and sisters, and we have the author of Hebrew, which is not known, but we know that he is exhorting weak brothers that are suffering. They're weak, but he's encouraging them, he's exhorting them, and he's speaking the truth to them. And when we think about what they were going through, well, none of us here are going through that, right? So it should be easy for us to get through the hard times that we see are hard times in our life, right? Because we do go through hard times in our lives, but it's nothing compared to what they were going through at that time, right? So when we think about that, it helps us to be able to get through the things that we are going through right now. And it's preparing us, you know, it's preparing us for even tougher times that we might Amen. Go through, you know. If something were to happen to one of my grandchildren, I have to trust in God's word. I can't trust in my emotions or my feelings. You know, I'm a new grandpa, you know, and I love them dearly. And so I cannot trust in my own feelings and emotions. And so if something bad were to happen to either one of them, I have to trust that God says that even through my trials and even through my pain, he's going to bring something good about the situation, you know. And so, and I know that if that's the case, I know I have brothers and sisters here that will encourage me Amen. In that. So I could trust the Lord to be able to basically pull me through any of those situations that we might find ourselves in. And I know a lot of us go through things and we look at them like they're really big in our lives. And God sees them, and yes, they are big in your life, but always take account to what other brothers are going through, you know. Like here, the book of Hebrews, these brothers here are weak. They're, you know, they have warnings. They're giving warnings about to continue, you know, to continue to hold on to the word of God. And he starts off, you know, with who God is, right? You know, in the book of Hebrews, and we'll go there. And so I'm just going to run down through Hebrews really fast. I'm not going to stay there too long. If we do stay there too long, there's so much Old Testament scriptures that are there that we'll be there for quite some time. The point I want to do is I want to see the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, and I want to see the author of Hebrews is telling us through this, and that's what I want to look at. So bird's eye through 1 and 2. And then we'll go through chapter 3, not too fast, but we'll slow down a little bit. So book of Hebrews, chapter 1, says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purifications of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So here we have the book of Hebrews, basically the author saying who Christ is and how, you know, he is the King of Kings, right? You know, and he holds all things in his hand. And so I wanted to compare that with John 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, you know. And you guys know what it says there, because you know, a lot of times when we bump into Jehovah's Witnesses, this really helps right here to be able to refute what they say. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So here we see, you know, Christ Jesus as creator, right, with the Father together, right? And it was created through him. And we see also that the Word here is Christ Jesus. And a lot of us know that already. Jesus Christ is the Word, right? You know, and so the point I was bringing up with the Psalms is like, look, Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, right? And his Word, he is the Word, right? So if we're living according to his word, then we are exalting the name of Jesus. You know what I mean? And we're doing it, as Jesus said, there would be a time that people would worship me in spirit and truth. Remember, truth has to do with God's word, right? You know, and we know that truth is a realistic thing. It's not blurry. It's real. It's the truth. And so the word of God should be, if you are a born-again Christian, right, the Word of God should be your everything. The Word of God should not be neglected. I stumble on that. There's times where I'm not holding up the Word of God like I should, right? I'm not in reading the Scriptures like I should be doing. There's times where I slack and I don't read the Word to my wife, you know? So here, the Word of God should be read. It should be read to your wives. It should be read to your brothers and sisters. Those of you that have been walking with the Lord longer, if you have family in the house that are believers, you should be able to say, hey, let's read the word together. Hey, let's pray, you know. And so the word of God is held high in God's eyes. That is his word, and we are to follow. So we have here in the book of Hebrews that he spoke long ago to the fathers, right, through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. In the last days, he's spoken to his son, through his son, right? And so, you know, he is the heir. He's the heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. So Christ, we're seeing here a picture of his supremacy. And not only that, but also over angels, if we continue. And it says in verse 5 of Hebrews 1, it says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Right? So we got Hebrews and saying who Jesus is. He's higher, you know, he's higher than the angels. We got the author of Hebrews saying that. And we also have John saying that in John 1:1 as well, right? You know, he's saying he's the Word, he is God. Jehovah's Witnesses say he is a God. So when you think about somebody saying he is a God, well, the Bible teaches that all other gods are what? Demons, amen, right? So do you see the actual teaching and their doctrine is against Christ Jesus when you look at that and you take heed to that. But let's put it into practice to ourselves, right? If he is God and he is almighty and he created all things, there ought to be an awe of who the Lord is. There ought to be a reverence. And when we sin, it, you know, it can't be just like, oh, you know, God understands, it's okay, you know. There's got to be some kind of brokenness in the depths of our heart, you know. Amen. There's got to be something there that leads us to some kind of mourning, you know? Because the Bible teaches that sin is death, right? And so when I touch sin, I feel dead inside. And it's like, for me, it's like, this ain't right. This is wrong. Lord, forgive me. And it should lead us, right, to say, Lord, here I am, you know, coming to the Lord, right, with that brokenness. So we got Hebrews here, and we have the author basically discussing how he's higher than the angels. And these the audience here, these Jewish believers, would have basically thought about how the law was given to Moses, right? And so if we look at that, it says that God came down, right, with his holy ones, with his angels, right? And then Acts talks about how the law was delivered to Moses through angels. And we could read that in Acts chapter 7. So Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 53. It says, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit, you are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, which is Christ Jesus, right? Whose betrayers and murderers you have now become." And it says, "You who received the law as ordained by the angels and yet did not keep it," you know. And Deuteronomy 33, you guys don't have to turn there, but if you want to, go ahead. You guys will probably get to it faster than I will. That's where I was talking about how the law was given through angels. And this is what Stephen is basically reflecting on. And he says, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shunned forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones." So those are the angels of the Lord, you know. And then if you go to Galatians 3:19, then we'll find also evidence there. So he's making the author of Hebrews is making connections, you know, in regards to the supremacy of Christ, in regards to what's higher, the law or Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ come and fulfill that law, you know? So he's basically getting them to think, you know, about things. And so we ought to think as well in regards to his supremacy and who he is and how we ought to reverence the holy Jesus, our Christ, right? He is the one and only. And so Galatians 3:19, it says, "And wrong one. He says, "Why the law then?" Right? And it says, "It was added because of transgressions." You know, the law was to show us our sinful ways, you know. "And having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator," right? So the agency of the mediator would be Moses, right? That time, Moses was the one that was mediating between the people. So we have typology there of Moses being a type of Christ, you know. And so we have angels here giving him the law, you know. And it says, "Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made." And who is that seed? Jesus, amen. That's who he is, right? So he was the law was given to through angels, right? But there was going to be something greater than the law, a fulfillment of the law. The law is always good. It's a tutor for us to see our transgressions, right? You know, if we're not loving God, right, it'll show us, hey, look, love your God, and it'll teach us that. If we're not loving our neighbor, we're breaking all the law, basically, you know, and God is showing us that so that we would trust in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, so that we would humble ourselves and say, I am a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Cover me with your righteousness so I can be right with all men, you know. And so, you know, here we have the writer of Hebrews again. He's basically comparing things, you know, comparing who is the one and only, the righteous one, right? And it is Christ. And he's basically, you know, saying, look, if these angels gave the law and the prophets spoke of the one to come and he came already, hold on to Christ. Be clothed, you know, in his righteousness. And then he gives us warnings, right? You know, how does it reflect for us Gentile Christians, right? I said that we were grafted in Romans chapter 11 talks about how we've been grafted in. And so I want to read Romans 11, 17 verse 17 through 24. So it's speaking of Israel and how they are still God's children, right? But there have some that have been in unbelief. They were they didn't believe the Lord, right? And they were broken off. It says, but if some of the branches were broken off, right? Speaking of the Hebrews, and you being a wild olive, right? We are Gentiles, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, right? This root being Christ Jesus. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Our Lord supports us, right? So we are not to be arrogant. We are not to be boastful in regards to, whoa, look, we've replaced Israel, right? We ain't to be arrogant about that because we have not replaced Israel, you know? And so, you know, we're looking at that, and it says, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And he says, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Right? Remember I talked about faith and what it meant? You know, it holds to trust, right? To be confident in what the scriptures say, but also to be faithful in them, to be faithful in the word of God. It says, do not be conceited. And it says, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. It says, behold, then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell. Severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? The Lord is going to open their eyes, you know, and the Lord has been opening their eyes as well. He's been showing them his faithfulness, you know, even with Israel. Not so many years ago, being its own country, right? Its own nation, you know? And so God is showing the Israel people that he is God, he is almighty, his word stands, right? And in that, we could see that as well, and we could appreciate who God is, but also remember that some of them were in unbelief, and they were cut off. And it tells us not to be boastful, and not to think that we cannot be cut off, right? You know, and that's why it says to be remain in faith, right? So 20 says, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. It says, do not be conceited, but fear. So we should have, again, I expressed a reverence and awe of who God is, right? You know, and so this being said, I'm going to go jump back to Hebrews again, and then we'll continue, and we'll see the warnings that God has put there through this author. This author was a man that studied the scriptures, was a man that was reverence unto the Lord, and he's providing warnings to the rest that are suffering in those trials that they're going through, you know. And remember again, those trials were really tough. I'm not going through those sufferings. So, you know, as we're grafted in, right, and we are God's people, His word has got to be an exhortation for us. It needs to convict us, and it's a good thing, you know, because the word of God, you know, God Himself is telling us that those that He loves, He corrects. And so if He's correcting us, then praise God, right? That means He loves us, you know. He has love for His children, and it's a beautiful thing. And so our prayer should always be, Lord, please correct me if I'm not doing right, if I'm not doing according to Your word. That should be our heart, you know. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. So here we see the supremacy of Christ over angels. He is the creator. Every time I look at a lake, a beach, the sun, trees, I am reminded that my God created those things, those powerful things. The sun is powerful. The beach is powerful. And so when I look and I see the one that created all this, I'm like, Lord, You are mighty. Amen. And He is mighty to save. And He has saved us, you know. And so always look at that and think when you see those things and give glory to God and know His strength and His might, you know. And you don't want that might against you. You know, you don't want that strength against you. You know, a lot of times He gives us over to self, and that's a dangerous thing. When we are given to self, thinking that we are right with God just because we do things that are good, right? You know, we're having faith in self. We're not really actually having faith in Christ. The things that we ought to be doing for the Lord should come from a pure heart, because God loved us, so in return, we're loving God back by being there for other people and doing good. Right? That way people could see that it's authentic. Because if not, it's just our own efforts, you know. And God knows all things and He sees all things. So let us not put faith and trust in our works, right? Let's put faith and trust in Christ Jesus, you know, that the faith that He gave us to be able to be faithful to His word. He has given us His Holy Spirit to continue living according to His word. And His word is very, very important, as we read in Psalms 138, you know. And so it says in chapter 2, for this reason we must pay close attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels provided unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed by us. It was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. So we see here that He's giving us that warning. Like, look, you've seen, you've known, you've seen the mighty works of God, right? They have seen it. Those that were witnesses to Jesus Christ, they saw it. They expressed it to them. They got saved, right? Jesus saved them, right? So the Lord is basically, has He not shown you the miracles in your life?
Amen.
You know, when we look back, when we were in the world and the things we did, how we deserved punishment, how we deserved death, right? But yet, he found a way for us not to die, right? Physically, right? Not to maybe really make big mistakes. And yet, if we had made those big mistakes, he fixed them, right? You know what I mean? I always express my regrets of not serving the Lord sooner when I knew about him. Maybe it was lack of discipleship at the church I was going to. Maybe it was lack of somebody not really teaching me God's word precisely. Whatever it may be, I still chose to walk away from the things of God. I still chose to live my life, and that affected my family. You know, it affected my family much so. And so God in his mercy and grace has fixed those things, but yet there's consequences, right? You know, my son, he's not saved, you know. He's doing the things that I used to do now, right? I mean, not so bad, but he's still involved in fornicating, you know, drunkenness, you know, things like that, you know. And so that is the consequence of my sin, right? You know, and even now when I sin, there's still consequences for me as well. If I'm not reading the word at home with my wife, and if I've entertained some kind of sin for that moment, when I come home, it's not easy to get along with my wife if I don't repent. See what I'm saying? You know, it's not easy to get along with her. You know, it's not easy to get along with anybody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to get along with people at work when I have sinned and I know and I don't get right with the Lord. I don't want to get along with people, you know. And I find it, the more that I do not confess my sins unto the Lord, the worse I get. You know, so in his kindness and in his grace, you know, that's why he always reminds us, like, look, don't drift away. Keep the word of God. You know, the Torah and the law was given to Moses, you know what I mean, to show us the transgressions, right? But the righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, he came to save us. He is the founder of our salvation, you know. And so that, with that being said, I want to go ahead and look at some scripture here. I know I jumped a little bit too quick, but I want to go back to verses 10 and 14 of Hebrews 1. 10 through 14 in chapter 1 in Hebrews. It says, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they all will become old like a garment. And like a mantle, you will roll them up like a garment. They will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." It says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" See, so we have ministering angels that serve us, to protect us, guide us. We don't see that realm. You know, I know me and Brother Daryl, we talk about how amazing that is, that we can't see what's going on, but we know that as Christ followers, there's an attack from the evil one, right? You know, And with that being said, we have an enemy. And that enemy doesn't want you to produce fruit. The enemy wants you to remain comfy, sitting back, doing nothing, right? And so if that's what the enemy is doing, God wants to do something else. God wants to protect you, and he wants to do other things. With that being said, there's things that God watches over us with angels. Protecting us in a sense, right? You know, of things. And I believe the reason why he does that is so that we would continue to preach the gospel, so that we would be light in this world. I don't think he just does it so we could sit down, you know, and not take heed to scripture. I think he does it because he wants us to continue to be light in this dark world, you know. I was listening to Brother Russ. He had taught about about losing your first love, and that really impacted me as I sat there. I like to listen to, Brother Bill, Russ, anybody that is teaching, Brother Bradley, Bible study, Anthony, Brother Tony, and I love to listen because I know that God is going to teach me something through it, you know. I know it, you know, and so I want to know what God is trying to teach me and what he's also trying to teach the body as a whole here in this fellowship, you know. And so I listen to Brother Russ, and I listen to these brothers, and you know, don't forget your first love, you know what I mean? Pastor Marco, look, this is what faith is, you know. It's not just, well, I believe in Jesus. You know, no, he's challenging. He even said, like, hey, look, if you've been a Christian for 5 years, you should be able to put a Bible study together. And I was like, the way he said it was beautiful, but when you really think about that, that's challenging, you know. That is very challenging, you know. Being a Christian 5 years, we should already be like, hey, look, let me teach what the Word of God says. You know, it's interesting, you know, but it is challenging. And so, and by hearing things like that, it challenges me even more so, right? And it's good to be challenged, you know. When there's no challenge, there's just comfort. We need to be careful, right? And so our Lord, right, by all these miracles that he had done through Christ Jesus, right, and we have, you know, those that walked with the Lord, you know, and this author here, he wasn't there at that time, but he heard this through them, you know, because he expresses it. He says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was at the first spoken through the Lord? It was confirmed to us by those who heard. So those who heard were those that were walking with the Lord at that time, you know. And it says, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, by various miracles and by gifts and the Holy Spirit according to his will. Again, to bring back to what God has done in our lives, right? You know, even within ourselves, even reading his word, knowing that it's in scripture, trusting it and having confidence in it that that's the truth, but not only in our own lives and what he's done for us, you know. So we have to take heed to that. Have you guys tasted and seeing that the Lord is good?
Amen.
Amen. And very good. He's been very good to us. You know, we praise him for that, you know. And so we see that. So now he says, take heed to the scriptures, you know. And so another thing that I was reading and pondering here was that his word is forever. He remains. He's going to remain, right? And there's no end to him, right? And 1 Peter 1:24. Says, for all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Amen. That is the word that was preached to us, right? You know, we know that that word has sunk in the depths of our soul. And we know that his word renews our mind, right? We know that that's what the scriptures say it should be doing. So we ought to be reading so that we continually renew our minds on a daily, you know. And so we've tasted, right, his goodness and his kindness, you know. And God is a good God, you know. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Again, I said I just wanted to brush through it. I'm probably not going to have time to finish. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. It says, for he did not subject to angels the world to come concerning which we are speaking, but one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. So here we're talking about, he's talking about Jesus Christ, right? You know, and he had made him lower than the angels, right? He took form of human, right? The human flesh, right? You know, and still being God, you know, but not using his power and his might, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit, you know. And it says, you have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and have appointed him over the works of your hands, right? When he rose again, you know, when he rose, he was seated at the right hand and he was, you know, back in glory with the Father, you know. And this is who our God is. Our God is a living God, a faithful God, a God of glory, a God of power and might. You know, it says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. You know, are we subjected under his feet? Are we under Christ? You know, it's a thing that we have to really understand. Are we under his authority, his word? You know, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all the things subjected to him. Everything is subjected to him. When he comes, everybody will give account. Even the one that didn't want nothing to do with the Lord is going to bow his knee. You know, and that's subjection, right? Everything. It says, but we do see him who has made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by grace of God, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So here, again, a high priest, right? You know, understanding everything that we've been through. You know, there's nothing that the Lord doesn't understand about your life. He knows everything. He knows what you're going through. And he's willing to be there to get you through it, you know. Amen. The thing is are we going to trust him with it? Are we going to be faithful to his word and saying, here I am, I believe and I trust. Not only that I just believe because I believe, but it's a believing and it's producing action. You know what I mean? It's not just, well, I believe in Jesus and he did this, so it's all okay, it's all good. Anything that I do know, it's an actual belief of who he is. You know, is he supreme? Is he the king in your life, right? You know, and so these are things that the scripture talks about for us. You know, so he suffered, you know, and he knows all our imperfections, you know. And I want to read Philippians 2. The epistle of Philippians is really dear to me because I see his humbleness in it. Not only that, but even Hebrews right here is talking about how he lowered himself, you know. And I really enjoy the epistle of the Philippians. I have to read it more because I don't have a good memory. So I need to continue to read it so that it really stays with me, you know, stays in my mind. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So we see here, you know, Christ and what he's teaching us. He's teaching us to be humble, to not be a prideful, you know. And he was committed, you know, And you think about heinous acts of people that are in the world. And I think about some of my heinous acts as well. And I think that my Savior felt all that disgustingness upon him. You know, holy, being holy and righteous, never sinning, right? And then having my sin, you know, on him, that for me, it reflects, you know, for me, it just gives me a deep understanding of his love for me, right? The love that he has for us. And sometimes we could be angry at sin, right? You know, oh, that child molester did this, you know. And so true, it's bad. It hurts children. It affects them. And God is not pleased with that kind of stuff. It's interesting that if that man repents, right, that God would save him, right? It's like, whoa, you are a loving God. Even if that man would truly repent and turn from his sins, you would bless him. You would guide him. Remember I said that word blessed is to advance also to the kingdom. As we are happy and joyful, we are also advancing the king. I don't know, man. That really puts me to think and say, man, Lord, you are good. Why would I want to live for myself? If you are that great, if you are that good, I should live for you. And I should have that love in my heart for that lost person. Yeah, I'm not going to agree with the sinful act. I got to hate it. But I also got to love him and tell him the gospel.
Amen.
You know, and that God could save him from his heinous sin, from that disgust and filthiness. See, sin is heinous. It's disgusting, you know. And we have warnings for even us Christians that should know better, right? You know, we should know better if we're holding in thoughts against other brothers and sisters. We should know better that we shouldn't be doing those things. If we feel that we're better than so-and-so, you know, that already, there was already a seed of jealousy there. Because why would you have to compare? See what I'm saying? Why would you? Because there was some jealousy there already. You know, so these are things that we ought to know as believers. If we're not believing what the Word of God says, we're in unbelief. If God is telling us to do certain things in His Scripture and we're not doing them, if me as a husband hold on to bitterness, I'm disobeying the Lord.
Amen.
I'm disobeying what God, I'm in unbelief of His Word. That's what it is. You're in unbelief of it. Because if you believed it, you would say, Lord, this is what your word says. Forgive me. Take this bitterness away. Brother so-and-so, could you pray for me? There's bitterness that the enemy wants to put in my heart. Pray for me. I need this. I don't want this. I don't want to entertain this. Right? Now, that is being faithful. That is saying, I'm going to look at that. And I'm not going to allow that in my life. You know, I'm not going to allow those things. And we have scriptures that talk about so many things that us Christians struggle with, right? I know I struggle with a lot of things. And I'm like, oh, man, there it is. That's the word. The word of God is telling me that is wrong, that is bad. I'm going to talk to the Lord about this. I'm going to ask him to cleanse me and purify me. And it's a daily thing. I don't know about you, but yeah, it is a daily thing. I mean, there is times where, you know, we got a good week of like, oh, man, praise God, and there's so much joy, and, you know, and then, boop, trip up, you know, and then we're like, oh, man, Lord, forgive me. Please give me your strength, you know. And we continue. We must continue at this point, you know, the persecution that is strong amongst these brethren, but we have this brother here, this author of Hebrews, that is just exhorting the brothers, continue, you know. And again, you know, we heard Brother Russ, we've heard these brothers that are encouraging us, right? Brother Bill, Pastor Marco, and we're being encouraged, right, to continue in the faith. And we need that. We need it. Because if we're not practicing now, then when this persecution comes, will you be able to stand? You know what I mean? Will we still be able to love each other? Or am I going to be like, all right, guys, I'll see you later. I got my Jeep over there. I'm just going to, like, just take off and get out of here. And, you know what I mean? Or am I going to be like, hey, like, who can I encourage right now at this moment, at this time? You know, who can I help, you know, when that time comes of persecution, right? You know, it says that no greater love is this, that a man would sacrifice his life for another, for a brother, you know? And at that time and at that point, will that be true in my life? Man, that's hard, you know? And so it's like, I wish it would. It will be. If I'm dependent on the strength of the Lord, I know that he could do it, not me, right? We know that he does it, not us, right? When we fail, confess our sins, he picks us up and he takes us and he puts us back, right? And he's... in our weaknesses, he shows his strength, you know, and which is a good thing. And we are for time. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back to Hebrews. All right. Let's go back to Hebrews, and we'll go to 3. Says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. So here we have that Jesus, right? He's the high priest, right? And he was faithful, right, to him who appointed him, right? God the Father appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. So we have here Moses, a picture of a servant. And it says, for he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. So we see Jesus even bringing to the Jewish people this example of like, look, Jesus Christ is higher than Moses, you know. And he's basically letting them know. And he says, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God, right? Let's go back to 3. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses by just so much as the builder. Right, Christ Jesus is the builder. Right, he's building us up. Right, he has built us up, and we are his body. We are his temple. Right, you know. And it says but by just that so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. Right, you know. So Christ Jesus has the honor. He is the one we ought to reverence. Right, we ought to bring glory to him. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. See, so God is the one that is building us up. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house. So here we have the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, right? You know, and he was faithful over his house. He was the builder and founder of us, and he is basically, he's faithful to us, right? You know, but not only that, he was faithful and obedient to God the Father. In all his ways, he never disobeyed God. He never disobeyed the Father. He was showing us, right, how to be. He was giving us an example of how our life should be and how it should consist, what it should consist of. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, right? We belong to him. If we hold fast our confidence, here we go again, right? If we hold on fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So that is something that we have to continue doing. We are encouraged, right, by other brothers that stand here in the pulpit and encourage us to continue in the faith, right? It says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. He's talking about the wilderness, right? You know, the people that were with Moses. As in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be any in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And then it tells us, right, it gives us another warning. We know we saw the first warning, right, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then we have another warning. And if when you look at Hebrews, there's always going to be warnings, but there's always going to be encouragement, you know. And so that's how the book of Hebrews works. There's warnings not to drift away, not to fall away. And then there's also the encouragement of keep pressing on to serve the Lord, you know. And that's the heart of the Hebrews because of the trials that those brothers were going through. You know, if we could start to you know, apply these things in our lives now, and we get accustomed to God's word, then in those times that get harder for us, He's going to be able to guide us through those times, just like He did. Right? We see the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. We see the faithfulness how He guided those that were being persecuted in that time of Nero. Many suffered, right? But it was to bring glory to who? To Christ Jesus, right? So we're not, you know, it's not that we're not going to suffer. We are going to suffer. But in the suffering, there will be a joy and peace. And we'll be giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ in amidst those sufferings, you know. And so God is, he's a good God. And he's never going to leave us on our own. And those things that we go through, and we think we're alone, if we're following His word, He's there. He's teaching us something. You know, He's teaching us to mature, to be patient, right? You know, so those, He is faithful, and we see that He does teach us those things. And so, you know, we got to have a warning, right? You know, let us not provoke the Lord, right? For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who come out of Egypt led by Moses, right? So those were the ones that provoked the Lord. And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So here we have a disobedience on their part, right? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. So when we put our emotions and feelings before God's word, honest truth, we're not believing God's word. You know, God makes a way for us, you know. He made that way, right, through conquering sin, right? You know, and He gives us a way of escape. But when we hold on to bitterness, we're not seeing that He made that way already for us. We're in unbelief of it. And so we take matters into our own hands. And we can't do that. That's unbelief. We have to continue to trust what the Word of God says and rely on everything that He's telling us so that we could continue to persevere in Christ. It's the perseverance of Christ, right? You know, and He shares that with us, you know. And He shares that with us so we could enter the rest, right? The millennial kingdom is coming, right? Chapter 4, go home, read it. It talks about the rest and the promises of God. We have that promise that there is rest. But not only that, we could have rest and peace and joy even now, even through the pain and suffering, because Jesus said that my peace I'll leave to you, right? You know, He says that it's not like the world. It's a different kind of peace. And those that have the Holy Spirit in them know what I'm talking about, right? They know that the peace and the joy of the Lord that is there. So with that being said, I know I'm pressed for time already. What I wanted to do this time around, I know that we all take off, but for the prayer, what I wanted to do was pray for our families, for our marriages, people that we have that are not saved in our family, right? You know, sons, nephews, whatever it may be, for this fellowship. So what I wanted to do was basically just start praying out together as a whole congregation before you guys leave. I would really, you know, if you guys got things that you guys need to do, I understand if you guys, you know, get up and go have to do that. I understand that. But as a whole congregation, I'll start us off in prayer, and then Brother Roy could close us off. But if you would just pray for whatever God puts in your heart to pray for, I would really... that would be really good for us too, as a body, as a family. We're all family here. And so let's pray together. And so I'll start us off. Okay. Heavenly Father, we just...